Hey, everybody, this is Sherry Shepherd, and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
What's going on? This is Wesley Jonathan from the TV show The Soul Man. Much love to Soul Prosper Radio.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
We are the Playmakers, and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis. Holla at you, baby.
Sheena Arnold, and you're listening to Fred Willis on Soul Prosper Media. Awesome. Check them out.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Ooh.
Hey, this is Cheryl Pepsi Riley, and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred. Don't y'all touch that dial. There's some good stuff on here.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
This is Ebony Dixon, the baby jumper.
Yo, this is comedian Michael Jr., and in case you didn't know, you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
Hey, everybody, this is Director Joshua Coates.
Hey, y'all, this is Christian Keys.
Yo, it's your boy, Buff on Hampton.
I'm Greg Ellis. What's going on, Dallas, Fort Worth? This is Lamon Rucker saying God bless you and everybody that belongs to you.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
This is Braylee Evans. Don't you turn that down, because I might be coming back home. All right, love y'all.
Hi, this is Bernadette Stannis, you know, Thelma from Good Times, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
Hey, y'all, this is your Hattie Mae, and you listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Mr. Willis. Okay, great? Okay, great. Ooh, I love him. Okay, great? Okay, great.
Hey, everybody, I'm Fred Willis, your gracious host. Welcome back to Talking Points. Today we have a very special episode airing. I'm talking with Dr. Harry P. Close. He is an ordained minister. He's presently the administrative pastor of New Union Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. He is the president of the National Funeral Directors and Morticians Association. He serves on a number of boards. He holds a Doctor of Divinity, a Master of Theology, a Master in Religious Education, a BA in Religious Studies, and a number of other wonderful degrees. Today, we're going to be talking about an initiative brought to us by the Funeral Advocates of America and the Get Me PPE. Together, they've joined forces to launch the Last Responders Awareness Initiative. It's co-founded by Dr. Close and Ashley Jackson. The initiative's goal is to draw attention to combat the issue of the severe lack of PPE amid the growing crisis of COVID-19, the coronavirus. These casualties are not only affecting citizens, they're also affecting death care workers in the funeral industry. So they've taken this matter into their own hands to launch this initiative to raise funding to buy PPE, to donate to funeral homes nationally through the Support for platform. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. In partnership with GetUsPPE.org, protective equipment is being acquired and distributed to funeral homes across the country, especially those in high casualty areas. Dr. Close, I want to welcome you to the show and let you know right off the bat how thankful I am to be speaking with you today.
Well, I'm honored, and thank you. I'm honored to have this opportunity to share on this plight that all of us, I know, have had someone that's been touched by this present crisis in this country and in the globe.
Absolutely. And you represent the death care industry, the last responders. There's so much attention given to first responders, but the last responders are also being affected by that. Why don't you talk to us a little more about that?
Well, when we think about we all are some form of the health care, all those physicians and nurses and staff that are trying to make sure patients survive this crisis. But at the other end of the health is the funeral directors and morticians, or embalmers, because we're the last stage for those who don't make it.
Yeah.
And we are more exposed, especially in the African-American community and Hispanic community, where this particular crisis is focusing on. And I think the subline of that is really the healthcare system in this country, but it's another subject matter that can go deeper than
right,
that.
Right, right.
But on the short term, it is affecting us. We see all on all our newspapers, television, that the African American community is really being affected. And the purpose of this was the first time you ever saw the healthcare industry and the deaf care industry actually working together to provide a necessary protection, not only for our colleagues who are in the funeral industry. You know, we know the healthcare is going to get their portion. We're trying to make sure that the funeral directors get theirs, but also the other line is for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when this next wave comes through, some of our families we serve and or live in our community, they don't have masks. They don't have gloves. There's certain things we need. That's on the short term of visible. But the real effort is trying to make sure that the funeral director, the embalmer is really protected with the right gear to provide them. And here's a subject matter I hate to mention. We know people will expire, but no one talks about the transfer, how we transport.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shortage of body bags. And please, to the listening audience, please excuse me for using those terminology. People don't realize that even when someone you love expires, that loved one becomes a health issue for all of us, those who are affected by them personally and those who you selected to serve you at that time. And there's a shortage of those. FEMA should be providing. They have not provided, or if they provide it, it's to other communities that are affected, but mm-hmm. not the level where our community is affected. So it was necessary for us to get together and try to work together the team from a global perspective, but really narrow down. No one's looking out for our community. No one's looking out for the targeted communities of African-American, Hispanic, who are being affected at a higher level than any other population in this country.
Yeah, and that's very sad, even in a global pandemic, that we still face inequality after living the life, you know, experiencing equality, that even in death, it remains. So with this cause, with this joint venture, how successful have you been in not only acquiring PPE, but being able to disperse it around the country?
Well, it's ironic. We have a joint venture with Get Us PPE, which is really a physicians and nurses started, and we joined maybe hands about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
They have a category for funeral directors and coroners. And so we get a weekly report. Since we started, they said, oh, we only had 4 people across the country have signed up. Since you have signed up, we have at least 50 firms.
Wow.
And I'm sending out another weekly reminder to my members. It costs you nothing to sign up. Tell us what your goods are or your needs are. And we are going to be raising money. Some firms, some corporations are donating the actual product. Some are donating financially to get us PPEs. And that way we'll be distributing among those members who need it the most, that are listed. I'm telling to my colleagues, and even if you know your local funeral director, tell them to go ahead and put in their needs, because unfortunately the suppliers that we use on a regular basis prior to this crisis, they might put a request in, but they might only get maybe 5% or 10% of their order because it's such a demand.
Yeah.
And this country has stopped producing its own goods as we once did at one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's a multifaceted, multi-level issue, you know, facing those in need. So I want to ask you this. This is all compounding. This is just the back end of this issue. No. Before I ask about how funerals have changed, I've got to ask as much information as I can that you can provide, as much information as you can provide. Explain or detail the process of, you know, embalming that now has the added issue. I'm going to use that word issue. The added safety issue.
I receive what you're saying, and even myself, I have to sometimes think properly of the wording, because this subject matter is not a very comfortable for many people. I can say this to you that in my operation, prior to this 60 days ago, I was traveling globally. We have members globally and doing seminars and lectures. Mm-hmm. Because of this, I'm not traveling. Mm-hmm. And so for the next 30 to 40 or 60 more days, I'm the only one in my operation that actually is doing the preparation of loved ones. I have made sure that my staff, I have a very young staff that's a very efficient. They all are parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to be the person that will handle it. We follow the CDC directives.
Yes.
And that's another issue. World Health Organization said direct cremation, direct burial.
Yeah.
And we follow CDC says universal precaution and give each family an opportunity to have some type of a ritual.
Yeah.
And for us, even though it's 10 right now, I still feel that someone we need to see, touch, and there's some processes we do on that.
Yeah.
So I've taken the burden in my own operation to protect my staff. So I've really been seeing an upclick of this issue, and I must be honest, even if it's not written on the death certificate, everyone is treated like they have it.
Yeah.
That's another issue. We can always have the great debate, but when someone actually expires, it's really not always the cause on the death certificate.
Right.
But in this situation, we still don't know. The great minds and scientists have not determined if that virus has ceased at the time of passing.
Hmm.
And so I did not want to put my staff at risk. So there's some protocols that we have in place that if you're the person transporting from a home, a facility, as a nursing home or a hospital, you come to the door of a certain door that I take over from there. And if you're finished for the day, I need you to go back home, wash your clothes, and personal hygiene, see you the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Because that virus can be tracked through any facility, even your shoes. If you've been into a facility not knowing what, so you could be tracking in. It's very important for protection. And as a pastor, I was no about on Sundays. We don't do certain. This protocol has changed.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, we walk in the door, it would be, you know, disrobe, wash these clothes, shower, and then it takes me a couple of hours. I've been very busy today dealing with at least 5 COVID cases. And so I'm now, after these interviews today, I'm going to be just sitting in reflection because, you know, it's reality. You know, as a funeral director, I take my hat off to all my colleagues, even if you just work in the funeral home, because you're dealing with the reality of life. But now dealing with this crisis, we're thrown to the front lines to protect the community that we serve. And most people forget, and all due respect to all my fellow brothers and sisters of the cloth, the funeral home touches the entire community they are located at least twice in 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, those of us who believe of faith, yeah, if you belong to my church or become the revival, whatever, you know of me. But the actual funeral home deals with those who believe and don't believe and have a great opportunity to minister about he who's greater than us. And right now, God does have the whole world in his hands.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And I love the duality, you know, that you keep in mind at all times. Now, I'm going to revisit the Ebola crisis that mm-hmm. came, and there was very strict guidelines that were set. You know, mm-hmm. caskets had to be sealed. I think that one was immediate burial.
Correct.
And, you know, the seal and the vault and all that kind of stuff. And as you stated already that the initial guidelines were something very similar to that. But thank you for making the decision, or, you know, being led to, you know, make families feel comfortable and have some level of closure, by mm-hmm. being able to have a service, you know, some level of service. Now I've got to ask you though, service has changed. We know as you already laid out, transmission can occur, or we mm-hmm. believe that it can occur after, you know, a person passes. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, the need for the PPE. Just want to make everybody aware of how serious this is. And so with that being said, we all need closure. You know, we're not even able to grieve properly. So how has in your sight, in your vision, in your experience,
mm-hmm.
how have funerals changed right now? And same with church services. How will mm-hmm. they be affected going forward?
Well, I'll say this. I mentioned I have a very young team. Everyone calls me dad, even if I didn't birth them. But, and here, I was an adamant fighter against technology. I said, oh, what do I need a cell phone to have my email on? No, we don't need live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
And when this issue, really, I went to a conference that our national funeral directors and morticians have a committee called Under 40 Young Funeral Directors.
Yes, that was this year.
In February in Atlanta, and I saw something. I said, oh, let me get this. And I always call my staff and say, what do you think about this? And it happened to be a recording that you can have at a funeral mm-hmm. or at a church, and people can give testimonials. Because you know, and I don't, people don't really, they hear you at death, but you know, they don't really know the relationship you might have had mm-hmm. with the person who's passed. So what happened when this really hit, we were able to, our governor made it very clear, with, as well as the CDC and the White House, that is 10 means 10 and 6 feet distance. So you'll find a lot of funerals did not use the limousine, which is a prominent issue in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So what we started doing is live streaming. We now can live stream from our phone. Mm-hmm. So when we go to the cemetery, it does graveside service. And I have a diverse market. We deal across the board, majority community, Hindus, the Hispanic, but you know, majority of my families are African American, but I have a great different mix, so I'm not to a traditional funeral because death is death, but we also got to make sure people celebrate their cultures.
Right.
So we could only have 10 people in at a funeral, so we were able to put the testimonial marquee outside the building so that people could come and say, hey, this person meant this to us. In about 2 weeks, we provide a DVD. And I've got so many positive things from families. Something that my staff said, oh, we can't believe you're going to do it. But it worked out to our advantage.
Absolutely.
Even to the point that 10 means 10. However, doesn't stop you from having people view. You just have to have 10 people in.
Yeah.
At my front door is very clear. Please do hand sanitizers. Please keep your mask on. Mm-hmm. Please keep 6 feet of distance. And I have cameras all over the place. Someone came to make arrangements today, and I'm calling up to my office. I said, listen, that lady that just walked in the door, she did not use the hand sanitizer at the front door. Nor did she use the hand sanitizer when she came to make arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go in there and take that hand sanitizer and make sure she disinfects her hand?
Right.
Because that's for their protection as well as the funeral.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I can say this, that it, I know some of my colleagues are all using it. Even some friends are not in the funeral. They're all disinfecting their hands, which is a great, you know.
All right, everybody. I'm Fred Willis, your gracious host, and you've been listening to my conversation with Dr. Harry P. Close, president of the National Funeral Directors and Morticians Association of America, about the initiative spurred by Funeral Advocates of America and Get Us PPE, and the initiative to offer free PPE, personal protective equipment, to funeral homes across the country. We'll be right back after these messages to continue the conversation. In the meantime, let everybody know that you're listening to Talking Points. I'm Fred Willis. I'm talking to my guest today, Dr. Harry P. Close, about such a wonderful initiative that I want you to learn so much more about. We'll be back after this break.
One day, in the blink of an eye, life as we know it will have to transition. And in that time, it is imperative that your family can aid in the transition with a peace of mind. At Tree of Life Funeral Directors, Andrew D. Sims Kirkland, Daryl R. Davis I, and Paris E. Lowry bring together more than 50 years of combined experience to offer traditional and non-traditional burials and cremations. At Tree of Life, you'll be able to choose from wood and metal caskets, burial vaults, full-colored funeral programs, memorial baskets, cremation sculptures, and much more. We also provide pre-need and at-need services, Texas notary services, free for seniors, and accept various forms of payment. For more information, call 817-451-LIFE. That's 817-451-5433. Or visit us at treeoflifefd.com or at facebook.com/treeoflifefd, and you can even stop by at 1051 South Hanley Drive in Fort Worth, Texas. Tree of Life Funeral Directors, service of distinction and class with integrity of ages past.
Mr. Johnson, there's an angel here to see you.
An angel?
Wings, halo, glowing. It's really cool.
Send him in.
Hi, I'm the Angel Floyd.
Okay, can I help you?
Yeah, I just need to finish this checklist.
All right.
Let's see. You do have identification on you, right?
Sure.
Oh, good. No need for dental records. Does your wife know where you keep the checkbook?
No, I take care of the bills.
Okay. Is the number of your life insurance company known to your family?
I don't even know the number. What is this about?
Just one more question. Have you considered where you will spend eternity?
Not really.
Oh, you may want to do that. And may I suggest you call your wife and let her know where you keep the checkbook?
I'll tell her when I get home.
It would be better if you could do that in the next 53 minutes.
No man knows his time. If you were to die today, would you be ready to meet God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Hey everybody, it's Fred here, and I want to take a moment to talk financial solutions. If your financial future is not as secure as you want or need it to be, I want to introduce you to Keith Squalls of the K. Allen Financial Group. He's already helped numerous clients eliminate debt and even helped them pay off their mortgages years ahead of schedule. It's not too good to be true. It's too good to miss. Give him a call today. Tell him I sent you. The number to call is 877-888-6322. That's 877-888-6322.
You're listening to KSPR, Soul Prosper Radio, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
All right. There are many precautions that we can take as we get back into this conversation with Dr. Harry P. Close. There are many precautions that we can take, whether we're in the hospital, medical care industry, the death care industry, or whatever industry we're in. There are precautions that we can take, especially when we go out in public. One is a mask. And it's also a hot topic of conversation. As we get back into this conversation with Dr. Close, we're going to begin by asking the question, or rather, begging the perspective of wearing a mask, to wear a mask or not to. Let's get back into this conversation with Dr. Harry P. Close. We're talking about the initiative by the Funeral Advocates of America and Get Us PPE as they team up to offer free personal protective equipment to funeral homes across the country. Dr. Harry P. Close is giving us so much great information today. I don't want you to miss it. Let everyone you know you're listening to Talking Points right here on Soul Prosper Radio.
You know, and even though we might be moving, opening back to the United States, I don't know about them, but I'll be wearing a mask a little more often.
Absolutely.
And, you know, still carrying gloves because I'm concerned about the next wave. And that's why we're doing this initiative, is because there's going to be, right now it's crazy. And I take my hat off to my colleagues in New York and New Jersey. I had to go up there a couple of weeks ago. It was like a ghost town. And this is what they have to experience themselves. Just those, even those refrigerators. Most people don't realize that the funeral director themselves has to go into those tractor trailers, refrigerators. Mm. And even though they have to look among all those people there. And so if someone has that COVID virus, it's easy to get on the bag of another person who might never had it.
Right.
So that's how contagious this virus is, still unknown. And so I just say to the listening audience, this is real. I lost two family members the last 2 weeks in Boston. I had to watch the funeral on a live stream.
Wow.
And I lost two colleagues, funeral director owners in New York and this last week. And one I was, who was a Rhodes Scholar. And
wow.
Jeremiah Gaffney in Inwood, New York. Just a genuine gentleman. But when he passed last week, it just lets us know. And there's others across the country that people who are not highlighting, that funeral directors and their staffs are dying from this virus. And what people have to understand, your funeral director, he or she and their staff, puts themselves online every day serving you, even before the virus. I mean, there's other viruses that are out worse that we don't talk about anymore,
right,
but they're still existing. And so, you know, to my colleagues that do this, they've been called to do this. I take my hat off to you. And I just say to the public, you know, if you can contribute, go online, get us PPE. There's a certain sections, if you're a funeral director listening, or work, go on, hit number 7. I think it tells about morticians, funeral homes, and coroners. Just put in what you need, and we're going to do the best we can to provide you. And the only thing I'll say to you, for those who are in the funeral business or even the church when they open back open, let's provide some things for the people in the community. Because if we don't do it, no one's going to do it. And I've been past president of many different national and international organizations in the majority community. But during this plight, we're working together. But every we're community-based funeral businesses. And it's nothing about being a problem to serve the community you're in. And so I see my community being hurt heavily, and I have a responsibility. And just like the National Funeral Directors and Mortician Association, we started with Booker T. Washington back in August 23rd, 1900, with the National Negro Business League.
Wow.
He took 12 professions, and the funeral directors were one, better known at that time, the undertaker. Mm. And we came into existence in 1924. If you ever want to know more about our association, this UTNFDMA 1924. And the rich history that the African-American funeral director is not only part of the your family, but they're also part of the community. And we've always been the financiers of the community. In every crisis, you can always rely on the funeral director. Here's what I say to my colleagues who had the privilege to share the word of God. The politician might come to the church on Sunday, but on Saturday, they came to the funeral home.
I love it.
Get that one?
Yes, sir. I love it. So you have been so liberal in sharing today, and I'm so glad to have had this time to hear from you. I know my listeners are going to listen and they're going to reach out, because I'm connected to a number of funeral directors here locally. One of my friends who is a funeral director contracted the coronavirus also. Mm-hmm. And so I know how it's reaching, the last responders. Yeah. And even when it's the owner, sometimes the business takes a hit, without the owner being there. The owner is, a funeral director. So you got embalming duties that have to sometimes be passed to somebody else, mm-hmm. things like that. And you've done the valiant effort to handle all the embalming. We're seeing numbers like in New York, where, bodies are overflowing and funeral homes are being challenged to service those families. And I do love the idea that you're sharing about live streaming, something that I'm trying to get, people down here in Texas used to in this hopefully short time. But it's something that that I hope that we can get into. I want to close with this and just have you share a little more as we close the interview. You have the last word. Just share about the effect, the toll that it's taking. You talked about after today, you're going to take some time and just kind of convalesce, just kind of decompress when you get home. I think sometimes that we overlook that. So just talk to us about that as we close the interview.
I'm kind of moved that you gave me the opportunity because, we've always been taught to be seen but not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants that person to be there but not want to see them. But every family we serve, we take a part of their grief to help them through their grief.
Mm.
And that's why sometimes we who are in this profession, just like I said, ministers have fallen into, we're so helpful serving others that we forget to take a step back to absorb.
Mm.
And I have a place that my family knows where I go to my backyard, and the birds are twerping. And I'm going to sit there to sometime 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, no matter how cold it is, just being conscious that I know God has called me to do this. And sometimes it's overwhelming. And I might get moved and have a moment like Jesus, and Jesus wept.
Yeah.
To know that even in this process, I never want to lose the touch of the humanity that is surrounding me, some lost and some added. And, I just say to my colleagues, it's okay to take a step back to breathe. To the families that whoever you call to serve you, just let them know that, we're praying for you. That word alone, those few powerful words, hearing from a family that you serve, goes a mile away. And I just thank you for the opportunity, because part of me is just, tears are running down my face, because I know why I'm doing this. And all I will say is Genesis, the 50th chapter, verses 2, 3, and 26. mentions three words, and you'll only find it in that last book of the first chapter. It's about embalmed or embalmed.
Mm-hmm.
And God has called us to do a great thing to help his people at a time that they are vulnerable. And I just pray that my colleagues remember they need to be surrounded with facts and love as you help a family through one of the most difficult times.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time today. I've been talking with Dr. Harry P. Close. He is a funeral director and owner of Harry P. Close Funeral Service. He is also the national president, the sitting president of the National Funeral Directors and Mortician Association here in America. Get us PPE.org via the supportful platform. You can help funeral directors all over the nation. Thank you so much, Dr. Close, for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening today. My guest was none other than President Harry P. Close of the National Funeral Directors and Morticians Association. Today, we're talking about the fundraising initiative, Get Us PPE, that provides free personal protective equipment to funeral workers, better known as last responders. We know so much about first responders in this pandemic, but he brought us awareness about last responders and their plight, working to, work safely as they take care of victims of the coronavirus and people who pass away of other circumstances. And so you heard from Dr. Close about the toll that it's even taking on death care workers, a plight many of us don't know about, never heard of. So I'm so glad to have spent this time with him today. Hopefully you learned something, and hopefully you are, hopefully you're challenged to join this initiative, share in this cause. I definitely want you, if you can, to contribute to this worthy cause and help those of us who have friends and those who work in the death care industry protect themselves, remain protected, and protect themselves against this virus, coronavirus, COVID-19. It's talk of the day. But there are so many angles to this that we are unaware of. So I want to thank Dr. Close so much for coming on today and sharing from his heart. I want to thank Jalila Larcel for making him available. Very good friend there. I want to thank you for listening today. And obviously, I'm so thankful to have an audience that is interested in topics like these. We can talk about these things. We can grow. We can learn. And most importantly, we can help. So thank you so much for listening today. And until next time, keep the conversation going.